May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms. It's on my mind to read four psalms. Psalms 137, 132, 87, 84. 137, 132, 87, 84. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee, as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Psalm 132, 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. That lo, we heard of it at Ephratah, we found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles, we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baker make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let us pray. Most gracious, holy, eternal, dearest Lord, do help us to realize that it's through thy grace alone and thy mercy, and not according to our own wisdom or even will, that we pray in thy house and thy courts. Dear Lord, do help us to realize of the sovereign love and mercy that has drawn us to prayer, even though we feel our burden, our utter, complete corruption, our sinnership, and have had to confess, even this morning driving, our heart wandering, our wretched condition, our forgetfulness, our lack of exercise. And thus we would join in the opening hymn. Dear Lord, but it is of grace alone. But even in this, we would not be presumptuous or assume. Dear Lord, we want thee to manifest thyself unto us in all the fullness of thy love and compassion. Open to our hearts that thine eye has been over our life all our days, and thou art guiding us with thy counsel. And may we pray with Asaph, bring us to glory, receive us into glory. Dear Lord, we come before thee then in the public manner of worship on thy day, and may our hearts be filled with a solemn holy awe that we cannot trifle in spiritual things. Lord, that we have got to give an account of our stewardship. So do help us now to plead grace and pardon through the merit of thy blood, and save us from presumptuous religion, just of the flesh, of feelings only, frames only. But may we be brought to the realities of forgiving love and atonement. Make us mindful of the purchase price wherewith our soul has been made to hope in thee. Oh, may we not drift on just saying things and professing and reading and praying in public and thy people coming to worship, Lord, completely unaware of the suffering of thyself, thy dying, the wrath for our sin that thou didst bear. O dear Lord, save us from just being religious. Save me from being a religious neurotic, just a religiosity, a flesh-pleasing, man-pleasing. Do we know that first hymn? How did we come in without a wedding garment? Do we know thy righteousness? May each search their heart. Lord, which way did we come? Was it the way of godly sorrow? Bitter grief, heart searching, breathing prayer. Have we been led to the atonement, the open door of mercy? Dear Lord, Help us to be in the Spirit, that we may sing thy praise for all thy forgiveness and thy love, the fullness of thy grace, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Do thus help us to reverently and rightly love thee this day for the little thou hast done and the great things thou hast done. The mercy of little leadings, little instructions, all the grace, the little seeming marks in the way and the teachings that bring us to prayer. But Lord, if we grow in grace, those little breathings will by and by become deep-seated cries, and Lord, the very vehemence of our spirit, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Dear Lord, help us to know thee more, but it is through thy sovereign teaching alone, and we are but dust, and are made to wait on thee daily, watching at the posts of thy doors, waiting at thy gates. Do thou help us to breathe our prayer. Help us to bear thy reproach, thy spirit, thy meekness. Thus we come, Lord, and do help us now to worship. Bless the word of grace, the means of grace. May there be that light into the soul, the light of thy eternal love, the atonement, O Lord, the blessing of the living bread, the manna of Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, be our high priest, the great blessings of thy priesthood, thy intercession, especially of thy atonement and of thy resurrection. May these things be an exercise to our own standing and sweet knowledge of them. Give us the little touches of thy help. We bless thee for thy little help and thy great help. Bless us as we gather now. Thou knowest each heart, each case here, our lives through various scenes are drawn. How true it is. Do help us to come with that living, vital prayer for mercy, for grace. Lord, intermingled with understanding, thanksgiving, and praise. Dear Lord, bless this house of prayer, and we pray for Zion and for our own friends. Dear Lord, thou knowest every case. Remember aged friends. Visit them before they die. Speak to their souls. Appear in mercy. It's sovereign grace. It's free grace. Dear Lord, give us the grace to pray for all men according to thy will. But, O Lord, most for ourselves and for the household of faith. Dear Lord, remember all friends in affliction, pain, suffering, those in hospital, those facing operations, those under medical supervision. Thank you for healing, restoring mercies here and there. Do remember thy people in affliction, O put forth thy healing hand. Remember one in the Bethesda home that attends here, as a member here, and also thank thee for one returning to her home. O Lord Jesus, do shine and bless thy waiting people. Remember all in bereavement, in sorrow, in loneliness, widows, widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow. O remember each in mercy. Remember those in middle days, to cast their burden upon thee, to be established in the truth. Dear Lord, remember our young men and women and the dear children and sweet babes going forth in life. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school here and elsewhere. May there be that instruction to our young people, that divine light, that teaching. For none teacheth like thee, O Holy Ghost. Dear Lord, provide for our young people, lead them to prayer, speak to their souls, open their eyes, touch their hearts. Thou knowest every special case, every special need. Do remember thy servants on the walls of Zion. Grant them a thus anointing and a thus saith the Lord. The editors of our denominational magazines, the secretaries of our charitable societies, bless them in their labours. Return in the ministry and the power of the gospel. Bless the ministry of thy word in this house. Bless thy servants that come. Dear Lord, remember us and appear for us in the churches. Do have mercy on thy one church in the earth, and missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Have mercy on England, these British Islands, in these most solemn, calamitous times. Touch our Queen. Open the eyes of our leaders, they may be ashamed. Oh, we are exhorted to pray for them, but how do we do it? Dear Lord, we bring them to thee and say, have mercy on England. Dear Lord, they do it in ignorance. They need gospel light. Raise up those who will sound the alarm and those who will, men of integrity who will stand firmly in the truth. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, our civil and religious liberties, our freedom to worship. Oh, have mercy on us. O Lord, we as a nation are trampling thy name, thy word, thy very person under our feet. Have mercy on us. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. We bless thee, thank thee, praise thee, and desire to end our thoughts, our breathings in thanksgiving and praise for thy sparing mercies. Make us mindful of where we've been, how we've been, what our spirits have been, and how we are in nature. And Lord, the wonders of thy visitation. May we truly know we are not our own. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Give us that exercise of soul according to thy will, that we may glorify thee in our lives and bodies. We bless thee, thank thee for all thy mercies. Many answers to prayer. Thousands, oh Lord, millions of helps. Compassions, mercies, provisions, Lord, those daily provisions, those gospel provisions, the word of God, Zion's doors open, the Sabbath day, Lord, our great high priest, the precious blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of the Lamb of God. O Lord Jesus, thy blood, lead us to thy word. Have compassion on us. Blot out my sins. We think of the publican's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come, Lord Jesus, bless the word. Meet with us. Come, we ask in thy worthy name for thy sake. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1123. Stretched on the cross, the Saviour dies. Hark, his expiring groans arise. See, from his hands, his feet, his side, runs down the sacred crimson tide. Hymn 1123.
Thank you.
upon the Lord, I would draw attention to Psalm 87 and verse 2. The book of Psalms, Psalm 87 and verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Psalm 87, verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Just an opening which I hope will direct our thoughts. Jacob wandered. Truth, he was under God's blessing. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. But he had to leave his father's house in the circumstances we know of. And from that time, he knew many trials and was, I know, for those 14 years in Laban's camp or house, but he wandered hither and thither. There was no settled place for him. I suppose in a sense we could view ourselves as Jacob, for here we have no continuing city. Zion means the Lord's dwelling. Zion is God's presence, where God meets. Stability. Jerusalem stood as a city on a hill. There were foundations, bulwarks, so forth. I know a skeptic would say, well, they were all pulled down and burnt and so forth. But that was only because of sin. But the glory of Zion, of course, is his people. This and that man we read of was born here. What a mercy if it is said of some of us. God will say it, as we read at the end of that psalm. This man was born in her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. And there is a writing of our lives. There is a great day where we shall all be before God. I spoke Lord's Day evening. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So was Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And to them that look for him, and this wants to be my theme this morning, Ida, that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Why the gates of Zion? Why does the Holy Spirit lead here? And many things are spoken of Zion. Why the gates? Why the gates? Gates, dear friends, are an entrance, usually to a compound or park or grounds. The same function as a door. And there is a going out and a coming in, or a coming in and a going out. And it is this principle where my thoughts lie our going in, our coming in, and our going out. The Lord Jesus said to his dear disciples, he said, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the entrance. My grace is the open door. To the church at Philadelphia, behold, I've set before thee an open door, not just a door, an open door. And in the lattice of the gospel, Christ is that open door for the sorrowing, the mourning, the repenting, the grieving, the seeking, the looking, the coming sinner, a fullness. Do you see anything in the Lord Jesus as an open door for you? Friend, what a terror if the Son of God was a shut door. Ponder it. Ponder your pathway. Ponder your life. No more answer to prayer. No more help. Nothing but judgment. Christ, an open door. An open door of mercy. An open door of grace. According to the Father's will. According to the grace, the glory of the Trinity. According to the leading of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there's those here who long to feel to be led of the Spirit. Dear friend, does your soul look up? Does it long for? Are you fearful? Are you afraid to look up? Does your soul plead his word? Do you long to be led of the Spirit? If you're led of the Spirit and the Spirit dwelleth in you, there'll be hallmarks, there'll be foundations laid, godly sorrow, living desires, honest confessions, a change of motive in many things. Well, all things in the end, I hope. There are thirst, Christ first, the very God of love, who you've offended. And the Spirit will lead us to the wonders of our two hymns. I've mentioned one already, repentance, and the wonders of that middle hymn. And the order was right this morning. Friend, we didn't start, did we, with the atonement? We started with repentance, and that is how it is in a believer's heart. Although, I'll turn it the other way, because of the atonement, repentance is graciously given. But for us, in our experience, it's repentance toward God, then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 137, in one sense, was not completely on the same lines as the other three psalms, although it was of Zion. It was captivity, but what drew me to it was this. It seemed to drop in yesterday afternoon. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. You know, grace. If our right hand forgets our cunning, we become imbecilic, I suppose, meaning that we don't know how to act or behave, or we lose wisdom and understanding or power, whatever. That would be a general interpretation of the word, although the psalmist may have a personal thing in view, of course. But if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, what's the point of me living here? You know, this was a desire. You know, here the psalmist is crying out, my chief joy. Why remember, friend, the glory of the Son of God. I know it was without the city walls, but the suffering was within Jerusalem. This was he suffered for me in Jerusalem. He died for me out of the city walls within the sight of Jerusalem. And if I forget these principles, let my right hand forget a coming. You know, is Jerusalem your chief joy? Is it your chief joy? Is God's house your chief joy? Why? It's not just coming to chapel. There's a lot to that. Just come to chapel, enjoy it all, and drink in the atmosphere of religion, and act ever so nice, and try and be holy. Well, I suppose for the order of society, that's reasonable, but friend, it won't get us anywhere at last. There's pride in that. There's little secret motives of pride. It's a false security. Oh, may grace bring us to Zion's kings, Jerusalem's glory. How do we come? How have we come this morning before God? Friends, is his presence in this place? Friends, if his presence is not in this house, it's not worth us coming, is it? I'd rather be alone somewhere and fall down before him. Turn to know an omnipresent God. He is omnipresent. Never forget this, young people. Thou God seest me, omnipresence. God can be and is worshipped truly everywhere. But for his glory, for his name, he has an assembly, which is a type of heaven. Now, dear friends, when the saints assemble on the day of rest, on the Sabbath, which in itself is another type of glory and heaven, are we drawn? Friend, in other words, how we come to the Lord's house is how we're journeying on in life. How are we going to eternity? How are we seen coming to the Lord's house? Here is a connection. As we drift on, do we drift to chapel? I know I'm being a bit searching here. Drift in and out of Zion's courts. So we're drifting on to a lost eternity. The gates of Zion. The Lord loveth the gates. Why? You see, friends, he begins to see as they're drawn, his people are drawn to his house. He begins to see the travail of his soul in their lives. He himself is being magnified in attracting grace in their lives, in our hearts, is he? You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to Zion. In ourself, poor and needy. What grates me in our churches, and I've said this before, and perhaps I should keep my thought. Well, I don't know, dear friends, I've started. Don't trust in your poverty. And don't try and be poor before God. I tell you what will make you poor: trouble, tribulation, deep sorrow, conviction. Friend, you'll be poor enough without trying to act poor. There's too much emphasis on poverty. You know, there's a false foundation written there. If you're a living soul, you can't rest there. You want eternal life, and you need the Lord. Friends, we're redeemed by his blood, not by what we are. And I'm serious. Grace will make you poor. And it's a poverty you're afraid of. You feel its awfulness, its insecurity, its calamity. No hiding place. Friend, and world need, the need of Christ, the need of living waters are marks of grace. They're not what you want. Can you live? Can you live by hunger and thirst? Friend, we live by the food we get. We live by the food we get. You don't live on air, but hunger and thirst is a sign of life. If you didn't have hunger and thirst, you'd be dead. But you don't live on the hunger and thirst. You live by the nourishment, the grace of God, the goodness, the fullness of mercy. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. How does he see them? Two lines, really. I'll try and keep to it, not forgetting the latter clause, which is not particularly on my mind to speak of, though part of the verse. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. You know, I've told you many times how I loved Jacob. If you ever felt to be a Jacob, you know, dear Jacob has had to weep. You know, the hidings of God's face many times. Jacob, have I loved thee, so have I hated. But you know, he loves the gates of Zion more than all those solemn dealings. Because that's where, well, two things. One is, I mentioned already, the gate is like the entrance. Christ is the door. Here's the door of the sheepfold. I am the way, the truth and the life. And Zion's gates are the way to glory. Friend, an open gate. The truth of it. The truth that that gate is open with an eternal purpose. Eternal attraction. And the truth is that you've come, though you're coming to Zion, with your faces thitherward. In Psalm 84, we have, don't we? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of tears, make it a well, or valley of weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before a God. You know, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And did we not sing, you know, here's a covenant, sweet, blessed promise. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. I know David, you know how the psalmist here pleaded in this Song of Degrees to remember David, his desires. His desire, a man after God's heart. You see, sovereign grace, sovereign love will cause us to love him. Love him. Love his ways, his word. Love his courts. Love his word. I will abundantly bless her provision. What a promise. The gates of Zion. See, through those gates, through that door, there's an abundance promised. Through the entrance of Christ into the mind and blessing of the eternal three, there's an abundance promise, friends. It's promised. And God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Abundantly bless a provision. The fullness of the Son of God. I will satisfy her poor with bread. You see, there's the satisfaction in the bread, not in the poverty. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Bread. A poor. Friend, being poor is not walking about acting all poor and all droopy. Friend, it's agonizing groans. Give me Christ or else I die. Have you ever prayed, Lord, let me not perish in my sins. Do speak. Do you know my prayers much? Manifest thyself to me. Manifest thyself to me. Said on the phone to a deacon's wife yesterday as I was driving. No, I was on a speaker, friends. I wasn't just holding my phone. I was on a speaker. How I longed for the Lord to speak, you know. Manifest thyself to me. My soul thirsteth for thee, Lord. You see, her poor with prayer. You know, David said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. He must have known it, you know, and there he was satisfied. There he was fed. to think the Lord thinks upon you. Wouldn't you long for that? Is that the blessing you long for? You've had it, friend. Some of you have had it. You can't deny it. Grace, friends, grace. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I've desired it. Friend, on the coming souls to Zion, you know, their bodies, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Individual souls, the glory of it. You know, these gates. I know this speaks of the resurrection and the ascension of Christ into glory in the strictest sense, but it is true, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. He has come in. He has come in. He's entered glory. He's entered heaven. He has come in. And Zion, the gates of Zion, Zion itself, not just the gates. Friend, he's come in. There's a word that keeps cropping up on my thoughts at the moment, but I will hold off from it, for I have this evening to come to. And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. He has come in. He has come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. I must keep to the text, the gates, personal. Dear friend, do you desire to see the King in his beauty? The beauty of his mercy to my soul. The forgiveness of my sin. Lord, as I come to Zion, lead me to thy dying. Give me grace to understand the glory of that blood shed. God actually reconciled. God not reconciled in any other way, but by thy blood for me. No other reconciliation. None other, only through the Lamb. There God placed all his love for his church, his fullness, in his Son. Him hath exalted with his right hand to give repentance unto Israel. Lead me to that fountain of washing. The word, dear friend, washes us. Friend, the gospel is the means of the washing. The washing is the water of Christ, or under the priesthood, the washing of waters. But you see, now are ye clean, and I've quoted this to you many times, through the word which I've spoken unto you. See the effect of grace in the heart. It's the Spirit's effect upon the soul. Now ye clean. Has the Lord spoken? There was an effect. It had an effect on our lives. It kindled in us a new heart, a new principle. Now you're clean. I'm not saying every time the Lord speaks, of course, that may be applicable, but by and by it will be, and you will discover it by and by. Because when the Lord speaks, dear friends, unless he speaks to us like Balaam, or sends the prophet like he did to Ahab, or whatever, he speaks by grace. And if he ever speaks, dear friend, he doesn't just speak a blessing and a promise and then forsake it. We're not effectually to his people. The atonement, the washing. Friend, do you long to see more in that efficacy of the blood of Jesus for your soul and your case and your life? Do you long to find it as a preparation for glory, that you will have a good ground to praise him on? Below here, before we get there. You know, I know this is true, and I say it myself, oh to be right at the end. But it's true, isn't it? But oh to be right now. The dying thief was right at the end, I know, but there was a now before the end. It was only a matter of hours. It's to be right in life, to be made right, to be put right. The living prayer as you came through the gate on the pathway outside. How did we come? Lord Jesus. And not just, of course, on the chapel doorstep. I don't just mean that. It's an exercise, isn't it? How did we spend yesterday, perhaps? I'll ask that question. You know, so much, and church members on a Saturday night going out for meals down to the restaurant or the pub or whatever it is, a lawful thing to do. It's not wrong to go and have a meal, and perhaps with a family or some friends or something. But where's the preparation for the Sabbath? Where is it? Where's the exercise of soul? Where is it? We live in lean days. We've got ourselves to blame, you know. You can't blame the Lord. I know it's all called sovereignty, but you know, dear friends, sovereignty of God is awful, really, in its nakedness. Have we come to chapel? What is our desire? Dear Lord Jesus, reveal thyself effectually through thy work. Through thy work, Lord. Manifest thy love, thy grace. Give me a living touch. He loveth the gates of Zion. Why? They shall come with weeping. And with supplication will I lead them. I know that was the promise of return from Babylon. But it was to Zion, wasn't it? It wasn't just coming out of Babylon. They're on a journey to Zion, weeping. Let us ponder this. When did we come weeping, mourning over ourselves? You know, I love those lines, you know. I'll tell you a little, I might have told you this before, but, and it's against me, I tell you this. When the Lord first favoured me, I hope I was and trusted I, well, I was very different to how I became by and by. We seem to settle down in religion and start religious talk after the first 3 years of much mercy. And in someone's house, a man in Sussex, a deacon, not at Black Boys, but closer to Tunbridge Wells, on a Saturday lunchtime, I was saying this, that and the other, and he was very kind to me. In fact, we had a little, I know he was fond of me. I won't say any more than that. I believe he was. He treated me very, very well. But I think he knew where I was, and he said to me, "It's like this, John," he said. "Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee." And it put me in my place. I knew the flesh, religious flesh. And the shame of it was that I hadn't been like that. Do you know what it is, pilgrim? To lose the softness, the tenderness, the fear of God, and to become, in Zion, get used to it, say the right things, make the right statements. Yes, still the fear of God's in the heart, but it's not manifest in exercise, is it? Friend, the seed lying in the ground dormant isn't doing a lot of good, is it? It will come forth, but the grace is, the glory is when it begins to spout out. When the blade appears, there's the glory. When the earth opens up and out comes the first shoot, as white as anything, there's the grace working. Have I come to Zion this morning, weeping, ashamed of our hearts? That opening hymn, repentance confession. Why? Why is it so sweet, and why is that, both those hymns blessed? Why? Well, dear friend, it's remembering the Lamb of God and my carnal state. My yesterdays, my present corruptions, what he suffered for them. God's people will be taught suffering. They'd never know the sufferings of Christ without personal suffering, would you? Would you understand what anguish it is to be shut out from God, the living God, to feel the cloud? Do you feel darkness? Do you feel the cloud over you? Do you fear to go in the cloud? How would you understand anything profitably of the sufferings of the Lamb of God except you knew the days of darkness and God's frown? He frowned on his son. He frowned on his only begotten son. He frowned on him. He frowned on our sins. We have to learn the frown to love him. To love him. Do we come to Zion, dear friends, a broken hearted, weeping over ourselves and after him? After him, that's the vital thing. I'm not going to stop here after ourselves. You might hear that at times. We're all weepers, and what a good thing it is. Friend, it's no comfort to me to weep, except I may discover living waters of his weeping. It's his weeping that's living waters, not mine. It might be a fruit of his travail, but that I'll leave with him. My soul is refreshed by his weeping waters, his soul, his tears. Loveth the gates of Zion. He loveth the gates of those that come to him. You know, and I'll just stop here for a moment. There's a going out, isn't there? There's a coming back again. You know, what a mercy from week to week. It's told me at a church in Sussex. In fact, the closest chapel, it's Broad Oak where I live. Used to be an old deacon, used to, in his older days, used to come in, I'm going back a long time, I think to the 50s, or the 60s, the 50s. And he used to come in and say, once more, once more, once more. He was getting feeble in mind, of course. And he'd say, once less, once less, once less. You know, but there's that psalm. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth forevermore. Don't view it just as safety. How did he preserve you? Does he preserve you in his fear? When you leave today until your next service or next week or next Lord's Day, whoever's preaching, I didn't hear, I can't remember the announcement unless it's yet to be given. Whoever's expecting next Lord's Day, how's he going to preserve you? Yes, we hope in safety and peace and in a providential way, but the Lord shall preserve thy soul. Thy soul, friend, thy soul. Preserve thy soul. There's only one place he preserves it, and that's in his glorious Son. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He preserves us in Jesus. He chose us in Jesus. He preserves us in Jesus. And he brings us to glory through Jesus. In Jesus. Thy going out and thy coming in. You know, the good shepherd. You know, Jesus said, I am the door, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd. He leads us out, doesn't he? He leads us out. What a mercy if he led you in. Friend, if he led you in these doors, he'll lead you in and out forevermore, because he won't leave you. As he led you in, then he'll lead you out in safety on your journey. The gates of Zion. Friend, there he satisfies the poor. You know, the preparations of the heart are in man. The answer of the tongue is from the Lord, you know. Friend, the blessing comes from the Lord, but he prepares man. I know there's the natural, the word speaks of a natural preparations there, but the Lord's will be done. I'm not just speaking on those lines for the moment. But you know, as the Lord preparing our hearts for his will, what a living exercise, what a weight. Friends, are we coming with an eternal weight? You'll certainly come to Zion with providential weights, pathway weights, spiritual weights and groans. But dear friend, is there an eternal weight? An eternal worship? Has eternal love begun? Has eternal care upon us? Eternal grace upon us? Eternal worship? Eternal praise? You know, those things weigh upon me. I felt coming up, I look back, you know, to the many of the Lord's dealings for me and mercies in past in the pathway. And I went through a trial, I remember. In fact, I was driving down from Colchester on the A12. And it was said in the car of a great uncle of mine who had got lung cancer. This is 1969. He got lung cancer and, you know, it was terminal. In fact, he only lived a few weeks. I didn't hardly know the man, because I come from quite a large family. But, you know, the Lord had laid a pathway in my heart, and somehow I felt secure in him. Do you know what I felt driving up this morning? I remember that scene. I said, Lord, I hope I wasn't just trusting in the pathway. May I trust in thee? You know, but it does seem sweet to me, you know, because Christ was my joy then. And there's an eternal hope. An eternal hope, an eternal keeping, an eternal prospect. Friend, the Lord Jesus is an eternal prospect. Oh, for the living waters in Zion now to flow. The precious ordinances. He loves the gates of Zion. Friend, the breaking of the bread, the drink, the sipping of the drinking of the cup, the baptism. He loves the gates. He loves the exercise of soul. He loves the singing of his praise. Friend, how does it find us? The gates of Zion. How we come in. You know, Mr. Percy Laver, when he was dying at Rotherfield, he was wheeled into chapel, whether it was exactly the last time or the penultimate time, I don't know. But he said, did he not? Our hour shall soon be dying. Time swiftly ebbs away. But on my Lord relying, I hail the happy day. Friend, oh, may my soul know that truth. May the Lord Jesus be my all and in all. Friend, if you're a living soul, you'll be very conscious when he isn't. When he's not, when your motive is wrong. You'll be conscious when you're not right in your prayer, because he gives a tender heart. He gives a tender heart because he loves thee and he will be first in thy soul. An eternal wait. Had we come through those doors, what glory it must be to enter glory at last. Redeemed, redeemed. To see the King in his beauty. Do you long to see him now? You see, there's the foundation. The heavenly building is above. The foundation's laid on the earth. The atonement on the earth. And the foundation's laid in our lives now. For the heavenly building above. It's a foundation. No foundation. Yes, the foundation's laid in Zion. Of course it is. The truth is preached. The ordinances, the hope, the gospel, the blood of the Lamb exalted. But in my heart, the fear of God, you know. The fear of God is a great mercy. The fear of God. The fear of God. Not a legal, awful fear, but the tender fear of God. It's a great mercy to possess, you know. And if you possess it, you'll have many hours of weeping. Because you'll see what a wretch you are. Because you fear his name. But you'll love him, you know. You will. You'll love the throne of grace. You'll love the throne of grace. You'll love his word. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. The stability, the grace of the covenant. I must wind down, come to points. Friend, the glory of Christ, the stability of grace. You know, the strength of righteousness, holding up the poor church, the poor sinner, the strength of righteousness to the poor and needy that are not by the way. And all the wanderings of poor old Jacob. Yes, Jacob, like Joseph, like all the patriarchs, was a type of the Redeemer. But oh, you know, David's, I know he didn't build it, but he sought out a house. He sought out a permanent residence, friend, and it's like a permanent abiding in thy soul, in thy soul, the gates. But how do we come? How do we come in and out? That's my thought this morning. Do we come rejoicing in spirit? My, hear God, my Lord, my Saviour reigns. Here he meets me. Here he communes with me. You see, the mercy seat. He communes from above the mercy seat. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple, it's a glorious type of the throne of grace, isn't it? Blood sprinkled. We plead. The king now sits on that throne. Grace. A throne. An establishment. A reign of grace. A throne. A reign of grace. Of mercy. Of peace. Of righteousness. Is there any rejoicing? Friend, will you sing praise? Can you praise him what he's done? Don't look at other people and say it's only so little. Look to him, the Lamb of God, who has made himself precious to your soul. He that has spoken to your heart, he that has led you, he that has dealt with you, he that had mercy on you, he that reigns. Well, he loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Well, I won't prolong it now, dear friends. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Friend, mercy. Mercy. Undeserved. Mercy. Answers to prayer. Oh, the helps. The helps. The helps. The helps. He's laid help upon one that is mighty. You know, he that's omniscient comes down to the finest detail of your steps, and you can't believe it, can you? But one day you'll see it. Have we come in tender exercise? Lord, how do I serve thee? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them. Keep them. What did they say to the Lord? What must we do that we must work the works of God? Do you know how that is in religion today? What have we got to do to work the works of God? What do we do? This is the work of God. This is God's work. Do you believe in him whom he hath sent? What a believing. What a friend, believing in salvation. I don't want to put it down to man in believing. Grace in salvation. Attractions in salvation, drawings in salvation, sweetness in salvation, life in salvation, the salvation of the Lamb. Have I come into Zion? How do I come? Keep me tender. May I rejoice in thy name. You know, the apostle writes, rejoice evermore. You know, dear friend, don't you long to? Because I do. That's my very down-sitting, that I don't. And why don't I? But you know, you fear to presume. Oh, how can I rejoice when I don't feel in the spirit? I feel so inexercised, so low. Yes, it would be wrong, wouldn't it? Better to confess and repent. That will lead to rejoicing. But dear friend, rejoice in what he's done. He's bringing your wandering spirit back. He's not left you there. He's made you realize where you are and what you are. He's woken you up, as it were, out of your sleep. Can you rejoice? Can you rejoice for tender conscience that grace is there? It's the touch of the hand of the living God, the Holy Spirit. But, dear friend, why? The tender mercies of God in his suffering. That reaches your conscience. That reaches your spirit. That reaches your heart. He loveth the gates of Zion. Does he touch us? Are our hearts touched? Are we longing? Friend, are we athirst when we come? How he exalts him. He loves to see that. He loves his people. Friend, he loves their praise. He loves their prayers. He loves their weepings. He loves their longings. He loves them as they come through. He sees the travail of his soul and he's satisfied. His days are being prolonged on the earth, and they are, aren't they? As men are brought to repentance, so his days are being prolonged on the earth, as the prophet said. Well, it's 5 to 12. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob.
The collections last Lord's Day were £657, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince is expected to preach in the evening and to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Friday the 10th of May. Let us close with hymn 913. 'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds, grace to heal thy fell backslidings, sinner, flows from Jesus' wounds. Hymn 913.
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.